And we're back with Brews and Reviews. Cole and Jake here, and Joel's still MIA, but we're talking about Spidey-cember. I don't know if I came up with that last time, but we're talking about it. We talked about the first two Spider-Man films in the last podcast, and now we're talking about the very controversial Spider-Man 3.
Which, for some reason, Jake has sitting on a super high pedestal. Which
no, we'll have to deal it should have been chopped down so much off the pedestal. I'm like, is it the worst of the three? Yeah, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
I mean, most ending movies to a trilogy are the worst. Yeah. Like, they can make fun of that Return in X-Men Apocalypse.
Like, everything sucks the third time. But this is the movie that... Here's the weird thing about this movie. So when I saw it in the theaters, I was 17 years old. I was jacked about it. And this is way before I had access to the internet. I was in high school, like no one's on message board, like, this movie sucks, or anything like that. I literally left the theater very satisfied. I really was. I'm like, it wasn't as good as the second one or the first one, but I'm like, that's not bad. That's not a bad film. And everyone just creamed this movie. Like, we're all over, like, I can't believe they did that to Venom. I can't believe they did this. I can't believe they did that. I'm like, I was okay with it.
See, again, I did not see this in the theaters. I didn't see any of these movies in the theaters.
You see, that's why you failed.
But this is one of those movies that there was this kind of like nerdy kid, and my mom was like, oh, his mom said that he thought it was great. It's going to be the best Spider-Man movie of all of them. And I was like, I don't know if I want to think that even before I see it. So I might have been a little predisposed to think a little less of it. But I think this movie came down to the fact that I loved the redemption story of James Franco, Harry Osborn.
And Tobey Maguire and James Franco's relationship, Peter Parker and Harry Osborn, was so well played out through the other two movies. And I thought that was really cool how they played it into this one.
Well, I liked that part of it. And the ending, I mean... I guess the problem that I had with this movie for the most part is most of the beginning. I liked how the movie ended. I thought it was cool with what they did with Sandman. Venom was kind of meh.
You had a problem with the beginning.
But whatever. But I'm saying, like, the whole general, like, setup on this movie didn't really draw me in. You know, you had, like, the black suit, different things. You had him doing the, like, stereotypical can't actually propose to his girl, and all of a sudden he's having these weird problems. He's going emo. Like, I liked how they ended it, but the rest of the movie to me wasn't something that, like, I really enjoyed. And so, like, I had this kind of conflicted, hey, when the movie ended, was I satisfied? Yes. I was like, hey, I love what they did with some of these parts. When you go back to rewatch, you're like, okay, if we skip the first three quarters of this movie, then I'm on board.
Yeah, and how they did the same, like, there are a couple things. So this movie has been memed, like, emo Peter. Like, that's been a thing for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Like emo Peter. But I guess I looked at it differently because they're like, oh, this Peter Parker thing is so cool, putting on a black suit and, like, being all emo. I'm like, this dumb nerd. Like, gotta remember, Peter Parker is a nerd. He's not like the lady killer that, like, Andrew Garfield was, for example. Like, he's a nerd. He played that part perfectly. And he was acting cool. The symbiote does not make you automatically cool. He was acting like a jackass. And, like, oh, like, he's like, He's had an over, like, developed, like, confidence problem. And, like, I think everyone kind of missed that. Like, everyone's like, yeah, remember emo Peter? Remember emo Peter? I'm like, I think you guys kind of missed the point of that scenes. But, or those scenes. Excuse me.
When you talk about, again, I appreciate movies, and again, it's a weird thing that I build into it. Like, if you build off of a movie well, in retrospect, I like that movie more even than when I first see it. And for this movie, like, especially with Mary Jane, Kirsten Dunst, everything that they had set up where, you know, she really liked him over the astronaut guy. Is that what his occupation was?
Yeah, it was John Jameson's game.
Yeah. But, like, they had this whole thing set up. Like, she leaves the altar for him. Like, this is going to work out. And I feel like it was one of those things where you felt like you were all of a sudden, like, kind of starting over almost. Where I'm like, I they didn't really build off of anything that they really did there.
And see, I think
the movie
finishing. I gotta jump on the exact point you just made. So please,
okay. Let me know when you're done. And even the emo Peter thing is like, is that cringy? Yes,
but is it supposed to be?
Is it supposed to be? Yes, but the point is like, up until this point, everybody kind of appreciated Spider-Man for the nerd that he was, and like, again, I just feel like this movie didn't make me like Spider-Man anymore. I like a lot of what they did with the other characters in this movie, but even Spider-Man himself, Peter Parker, his total arc in this movie paled in comparison to the other characters around him.
So let's talk about the Peter Parker and Mary Jane relationship, because I think that's a big part of this movie, and it does, like, there's a lot of stuff in this movie as far as their relationship. And if you remember the end of Spider-Man 2, he's like, go get him, Tiger.
Yeah.
And, like, he went off, but she, like, was looking out of the window, like, so these are two people that have never been together, and she's like, oh, I'm in love with Peter, after she said it after the first movie.
Yeah.
But now they actually have to date. Now they're having problems.
Yeah.
And I think they did a lot of, like, oh, can you imagine dating a superhero? Like, because Peter Parker is so dumb. He's like, oh, I can kiss Gwen Stacy upside down, just like that kind of kiss. And, like, he's like, oh, yeah, like, that's Spider-Man. That wasn't me. Like, I feel like this movie, like, the fact that they had actual problems. Because Peter Parker's like, oh, I'm gonna get engaged to her, and I'm going to get married to her, and that's how it's going to happen. But he doesn't know how relationship works. He never had a relationship as far as we know.
Yeah.
Like, before. And now he's, like, in Spider-Man 3, now he's popular. Spider-Man's the hero of the city. He's not the villain he was before. And he didn't know how to handle it, and he didn't know how to handle Mary Jane. He's like, oh, yeah, you married me because I'm Spider-Man. He had an overconfidence issue. The symbiote exacerbated that. And I thought they did a lot of awesome. Like, again, I think this movie's just misunderstood. Is how, well, I take it.
And with that, I would say, like, yes, I get that you're going to actually have a relationship problem because that's how real relationships work. But on the other hand, it's like, I didn't feel like they worked well together. Like, in the first movies, it was always like,
There's a little extra mess in this. I will say that.
But, like, it was like, oh, like, it seemed like they had chemistry, but, oh, I need to be Spider-Man. I'm not going to choose you. Or, like, this happened, and then again, at the end of the second one, it's setting up like, okay, go get him, Tiger. Like, I'm on your side.
But she was
and
looking then, at the, do you remember the last this, look where she's like, oh.
On like, this movie, it felt more like Ross and Rachel, where it's like, sure, I get that you're supposed to be together, but you really don't seem good for each other.
Well, that was kind of the point of the movie. And what I love about this movie is at the end, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Don't watch the movie.
We haven't even touched Venom. Just wait for that. At the end of the movie, like, it wasn't like they got back together. They just hugged and, like, hey, I'm sorry. Like, and I loved how this movie ended. It wasn't like, oh, we're still going to get back together and get married. We have no idea how that couple ended up.
Yeah.
Like, he literally showed up and, like, he felt so bad for all his bad things that he'd done. And all he wanted was just, like, hey, I'm sorry. I'm like, that was it. And this movie has the themes, like, so many good. There's some of the greatest moments in Spider-Man history in this film that you keep getting look over, like, you ruined Venom. I'm like, did you see the Sandman stuff? I'm like, did you see how he, like, got created? How you saw the emotional scene where he doesn't say a word and he becomes Sandman little by little? I'm like, did you see, like, the Harry Osborn becoming New Goblin, like, where he was attacking, like, Peter Parker? It was like, you guys are, I feel like you're focusing on the negative. Like, a lot of people, not you, necessarily. But, like, you're focusing on the negative. I'm like, there's so much great in this film. Was it a mess? Yes. Should Venom been in it? No. But the black suit Spider-Man thing, that resonated with me.
Yeah, and I guess that was one of those things that, again, when I got done with the movie, I was so conflicted because I'm like, I like the Harry Osborn redemption so much. That stuff rings home for me.
100%.
I love redemption tales, especially done well. And I felt like his character was done super well through the whole trilogy as far as
Harry, like, Osborn, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Harry Osborn, as far as, like, he was not a bad guy, but he was out to get Spider-Man. And, like, you slowly saw him turn, like, he was getting pretty dark by the end of it. And again, like, talking about even the difference between he and Doc Ock. We got into a fight on that last podcast about Green Goblin versus Doc Ock. I felt like his redemption rung way more true with me than Doc Ock because he had actually, like, done bad stuff and been committed to, like, he was becoming a bad dude, and then he was, like, redeemed. So, like, I love that redemption tale. The Sandman, it's one of those things where
I think Sandman was done great in this film.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, I have no problem.
I appreciate Sandman, but I don't, like, some people really get into, like, oh, wow, Sandman just made this movie for me. Okay, I can't really go that far. Like, to me, Sandman was an acceptable, well-done piece to the movie, but it didn't make or break the movie for me.
Okay, and that's fair. And what I will say about this, especially, like, I remember in the theater when Harry Osborn, like, because they have their little spat, Harry Osborn versus Peter Parker, which you can call, but again, it's like just two nerds from high school just kind of, like, duking it out a little bit. Like, I find it comical, but the fact that, like, Peter Parker then is like, we need to save, like, we need to go there. Mary Jane's in trouble. And I remember the theater erupting when they saw the pumpkin bomb hit Sandman, the big Sandman. They're like, yes! Like, and then he comes up and he holds him up. Like, that was a huge emotional moment. And I loved that part of it. But we got to get in the nitty gritty here. Let's talk about Venom. I have some thoughts.
Okay.
For one, everyone hates how they did Venom. Topher Grace isn't like Eddie Brock. Oh, so Tom Hardy's 5'9", right? He's sure. Definitely not over 6 foot.
I don't know how tall this big beefy guy. I mean, I don't.
But think, everyone, a lot
I don't
of
know
fans.
If he's 5'9". I guess I don't know that. We'll have to look it up.
Oh, we have to look it up. But he's not like a big beefy dude. And everyone's like, oh, Tom Hardy as Venom. I think Topher Grace as Venom. I knew exactly what Sam Raimi was trying to do, or at least I think I do. I have no idea. I don't live in his head. But they're like, hey, let's have the reverse of Peter Parker, someone that's equally as nerdy, worked for the Bugle. Like, just as weak and pathetic. And no one really played with it, but I had no problem with how they did Venom. The problem I had, like, the Venom character, you should have brought it into another film. Like, have the Black Suit Spider-Man do a fourth movie when you actually have Eddie Brock. I think too much was crammed in, and I think that's the biggest problem with this movie. But everyone just harps on the fact. They're like, Venom was done wrong. Venom was done wrong. I'm like, have you seen the Venom movies? I'm kind of okay with this iteration of it.
Yeah. I'm very neutral towards Venom as far as I didn't love.
You see, Venom was never one of my favorite characters. Like, no, as far as villains in the
Spider-Man. And I didn't love it, but yeah, that is one of those things where as you get towards the end of the movie when it's like, oh, yeah. Venom and Sandman and they're having, like, oh, we're teaming up and we're calling Spider-Man. Like, it feels very comic-y.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's supposed to be, though.
Yeah, it feels very comic-y where I'm like, I didn't hate it, but it wasn't anything that I really enjoyed. The whole Venom, actually, just like the symbiote, the black suit, the Eddie Brock, all that stuff to me, again, it didn't really hit me. I felt like, in a weird way, how do you explain it? In a weird way, it made me like Spider-Man less instead of maybe liking him more because he like overcame something and like was redeemed. Like, it just made me feel like, oh, like I don't really like this guy.
I feel
much.
Icky.
Yeah, like,
well, see, I guess this type of movie, like, you can hate it or leave it, like, that's fine. But I will say that the Black Suit Spider-Man, as far as what I know of it from the animated series, because I saw the animated series before I saw this, I think they did a really good job with it. I was just pissed. And this is, you can fact check this if you want, but Sam Raimi wanted to do Sandman and the New Goblin. And that was it. And Sony's like, no, everyone wants Venom. And you can kind of almost feel how Venom was kind of like just thrown into this a little bit. And what this movie could have been was amazing. Can you imagine if Harry Osborn had the symbiote? And he became Venom? And then he had to go after Peter Parker with all his hate. Like, there was a lot of things in here that could have changed. It's not a perfect movie. It's not my favorite Spider-Man film, but it's something I enjoy watching. But there is a lot of awesome things they could have done here. And I feel like you can almost feel like the Sony fingerprints, like, hey, no, people want Venom, so we're going to get Venom. Like, well, I already have Sandman and the New Goblin. No, fans want Venom.
Yeah.
And they gave him Venom, and we didn't get a great Venom, but the redemption story between Peter Parker and Harry Osborn as far as friendship and everything else, there's a lot of great in here.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing is, like, I've been hard on this movie as far as, like, you've heard our other podcasts, like,
yeah. Of course, everyone has.
Yeah,
like, if you haven't, figure it out.
I've definitely been hard on this movie. This movie, at its good parts, is very good.
No, the good parts are great, but the bad parts are
bad.
Pretty bad.
Where it's like, again, that rewatchability for me. Again, I watched the first one, I watched the second one, I watched them multiple times, like, after they came out. I watched the third one, and it was, like, done.
I've seen the original trilogy, like, each one at least 5 times a piece.
I think I've probably seen the first two right around 5 times a piece, and this one, I think I've seen twice.
Well, how long have you seen it twice? Because I said, I'm like, especially with, like, everything that's, like, we're going to get into Amazing Spider-Man 2. But they're like, this movie's so bad. I'm like, you didn't know how worse it was going to get, did you? Like, this is, if you like Spider-Man, if you like him as a character, and you like the original Sam Raimi trilogy, give this a watch. Like, seriously, this is not a bad time at the movies. Like, this is not, you're not going to leave and be like, I can't believe I just effing watched that. Like, no one's going to say that. Watch it. And if you haven't watched it in a long time, I would offer to rewatch, especially since Venom came out with Tom Hardy and stuff like that. Like, listen, they didn't do a bad job. It could have been way better, yes, but it wasn't that bad.
And this was one of those movies that, there's sometimes where a movie, like we talked about Venom, where, Let There Be Carnage, where I felt like there was a great movie somewhere in that movie.
Yeah, exactly.
But they totally missed it. This movie, I'm like,
this movie's a great movie.
There's some parts that you couldn't really improve upon, especially with what they did. Like, I don't feel like there's, like, again, some parts it's like, that's not even worth trying to redo. And other parts where it's like, man, like, I'm not sure if there was a great movie in this movie as far as...
Oh, there was a great movie in here. There was absolutely...
I'm saying we were given part of that movie, though. So sometimes it's like, it was somewhere in there, but I, like, they just didn't deliver at all. They didn't give me any of them. I'm like, they gave us a good chunk of really good stuff.
Yeah.
So you get most of it, but you don't get the complete package. So it wasn't like you totally missed the mark. But again, to me, that rewatchability on this movie is a definite plummet from the first two.
And I guess this is the guilty pleasure movie for me. I mean, I will absolutely, like, if someone's like, hey, I'm watching. You
love to do that emo Peter Parker dance.
But again, like, but we haven't even talked about, like, the Sandman emotional thing with the kid and everything else and why he was doing what he was doing. Like, there is so much great in this film. But yes, it did miss the mark on a couple of things. But this is absolutely, I will, if you told me tomorrow on Sunday, because we're doing this on Saturday, in case you don't know, Cayman Island listeners, you're like, hey, dude, do you want to throw in Spider-Man 3? I'm like, hell yeah. Like, I wouldn't even question. I would absolutely watch this movie again. Like, but that's just me. But I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. Maybe biased, but there's so much, like, the bad parts are bad, but the great parts are so great that it's worth watching for me.
Yeah, and I'm not going to recommend that tomorrow, sorry. But.
Okay, so what are you doing tomorrow? So, well, how do you rate it, Cole? It's not going to get higher than Spider-Man 2, don't worry. I'm not going to give it a 10 or something insane.
No, and that's the hard thing is, you literally, like, the parts that I don't like in this movie, I could rate, like, a...
No, you got to rate the movie.
I'm telling you what my thought process is right now, okay, rating it. Like, the parts that I don't like about this movie, I could give a 3 or a 4. The parts that I really like about this movie, I could give an 8. So it's like, okay.
You wouldn't even go to a 9? Sandman's origin? Come on, man. That sequence is fantastic.
No, probably not.
Okay.
I mean, a 9 for me is like a different movie. Like, I have to be engrossed in a movie like hardcore all the time for it to be a 9 for me.
I think that Sandman origin, when he comes out and like does that and just all music and there's no words, I think that may be my favorite part of any Spider-Man movie. Like, it was so well done.
Yeah, that was not my favorite part of the Spider-Man movie. But well. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I would probably give this somewhere around like a 6.5 as far as I don't feel like it was up to up to snuff with the first two.
Yep.
I think, again, when this movie was at its best, it was better than a lot of parts of on either of the first two movies.
But it has too many lows.
Yeah, too many lows. Yeah. And especially...
And I agree with... I completely agree with you on that. This is getting a hard 7. This is literally like... Like, when someone's like, what's like a... When you rate a movie a 7, what do you think of? Like, Spider-Man 3. Like, literally Spider-Man 3. Like, 7 is the... For me, the perfect rating to give it. I love it, but I hate it. And I love... And I hate the fact I couldn't love what it could have been.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's where I'm at. Like, I do not hate it as much as everyone else does. I did not hate it when I left the theater when I was 17 years old. It's just... God, I had so much potential, but it did not live up to it. But this is a perfect... This is... Spider-Man 3 is a 7 for me out of 10. Rewatchable, yes. Could have done so much better. Also, yes.
Yeah, fair enough.
And stay tuned, because Bruising Reviews are signing out, but we're talking about Amazing Spider-Man 1!